right. Hello. Welcome, everyone, to the 13th episode of the podcast, dude. That's my show. This is my show. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I am a podcast editor. I help people make podcasts. I write about podcasts. I play drums, but we don't talk about that here. That's my other passion, except I just did. Off to a bad start. Anyways, hope you guys have been having a good Monday so far. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you didn't party too hard. Whew. I'm recovering from a crazy launch. The Sean McCabe launched Learn Lettering 2.0 last night, and the whole team stayed up late to help him. I actually kind of got to go to bed kind of early. Early being 3:30 a.m. But it's great. I'm excited for him. I think it's going to be a really big deal for the whole network. So if you haven't checked it out yet, learnlettering.com. If you're interested in that, go check it out. That's my plug for my good buddy. He works so hard on that. You guys don't even know how hard he worked on that. It was nuts. So, but today, let's get into it. Today, I'm going to be doing an episode about formats. So I realize this might cause some confusion. This isn't formats like audio file formats. This is like, if you're just starting a show and you're tossing around ideas about what kind of show you want to have, you might be wondering what kind of format my podcast should be. Maybe a solo show, a co-host. Maybe you want some friends on your show. Maybe you want to do some interviews. Maybe you want to do something else entirely. Maybe you're going to do a combination of all those things. And that's totally up to you. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. The different formats that many podcasts have. And I'm going to share the pros and cons of those formats. Now, the most common popular formats that I see most often are solo shows, co-hosts, or multiple co-hosts. And these shows are commonly called panels or interviews. And I want to start off by saying that there is no rule that says you have to stick to one of these formats. You have to choose a format and stick to it. I think you can switch it up occasionally if you want to. I wouldn't change it up every single week, but every once in a while you can. And it's also fine to mix and match these different formats in each of your episodes. I think it's pretty common for someone to deliver a short monologue before interviewing someone. Mark Maron does this every single week. The guys on the Shop Talk show, good podcast, they usually do interviews, but occasionally they will do what they call a rapid fire episode where they don't bring on a guest, they just answer listener questions. So it's really up to you to decide what kind of format you'd like to have. And that will depend on your goals and what you enjoy doing. And each of these formats come with their own set of challenges. So that's what I'm talking about in this episode, the pros and cons of these different formats. Now, if you're just getting started, a solo show will require the least technical know-how. So it's tempting to start there. But a solo show is actually going to take a lot of work. And I believe it's actually one of the more challenging formats for a podcast. So let's get into that. Solo shows, pros and cons. First, for pros, you won't have to learn how to record Skype conversations or really get into editing too much. And if you've never recorded audio before, it's easier to just talk into a digital voice recorder or your iPhone than it is to set up something like GarageBand or Audacity to record a track while you're talking over Skype with someone else. And if you are talking over Skype with someone else, you do need to record your track in addition to the Skype call, and the other person should definitely record a track on their end too, so that you can get a clean recording of just their voice, so then you can put it together with yours, and it gets fairly complicated. You got to do some editing. So if you go solo, you can skip all of that and just focus on getting comfortable with speaking into the mic and delivering your message. Another good thing about a solo show is you don't have schedule conflicts with other co-hosts or interviewees. And scheduling a time to talk every week can kind of be a pain in the butt. If you're doing a solo show and not streaming it, you can record anytime you want. So I would say just make sure that you put it on the calendar, because it's not really a good idea to wait for inspiration before you write and record something. Put it on the calendar and get into a weekly rhythm. Get into a habit of recording on, say, a Monday night or a Tuesday morning. Pick a day and then stick with that. And also, great thing about doing solo shows is you can produce as often as you want. So if you're feeling inspired, you can just run in your bedroom and record an episode. If you've got a lot of things you want to talk about this week, you could record 3 episodes. And if you want your show to only be, say, 5 or 10 minutes long, you could even do a daily show or just a couple extra shows a week. And you have the freedom to do this when you're doing solo shows and you aren't tied to somebody else's availability. And if you build an audience doing a solo show, then you get all the fame and glory for yourself. If you have to share your show with a co-host, there's a chance that they will sound smarter or more likable than you, and your audience might like them better, and that's no good. But if you record a show all by yourself, you get all the attention, so that's pretty sweet. Also, I think solo shows give a more intimate feel for your audience. And I've found that recording and listening to solo shows, it feels much more personal. It feels like you are having an intimate conversation with just one other person. And I still like shows with two or more hosts, but there's something really, really personal about listening to someone who sounds like they're speaking directly to you. And I think that your audience will feel like they will really know you, like they've gotten to know you after a while if you're consistently podcasting solo. So let's talk about some of the downsides of doing a solo show. It's going to be a little bit harder because you're going to be responsible for everything. You have to come up with the content. You'll be responsible for the editing, unless you hire an editor. That's an option. You'll have to do all the admin work, all the show note writing, any of the social media stuff. So sometimes if you get a co-host, you can kind of hand that stuff off. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. So just know that there's a little bit more responsibility on you. And solo delivery can be more challenging for some people than having a conversation. And it's helped me to think about having a conversation with another person, in this case, someone in my audience, while I'm recording. And I think this works even if you aren't live streaming to anyone. But still, it can sometimes feel really awkward to just be talking to the microphone in your room. If you had a co-host or someone to interview, you're just having a conversation and they can jump in if you get stuck. But when you're podcasting solo, you're kind of on your own. So you've got to make sure you have a good outline so you don't completely lose track of what you were talking about. It's happened to me a few times. But I keep an outline, so that helps me out a lot. So podcasting solo is a lot of work, but that doesn't mean that you should avoid doing solo shows. I think it's a great skill to have. You really have to focus a lot on preparation and delivery when you're doing a solo show. So it's great practice if you want to, say, record video or give a conference talk or do any kind of public speaking. All right, let's talk about recording with co-hosts. So I was listening to a podcast from Dan Benjamin the other day, 5x5. He called this the buddy format, the co-host buddy format. I thought that was funny. It made me laugh. I want to tell you guys a little story about when I met Sean McCabe back in, I think, what was it, August of 2013. So when I met him in Austin at a Dribbble meetup, he told me he was thinking about doing a solo show. And I told him that I thought that having a co-host would have some benefits to it. I kind of talked him into it. I said, hey, because one, I didn't doubt that he could deliver a good solo show. He just struck me as really smart and very capable and well-spoken. But the kind of show he wanted to do, which was talking about design and professionalism, I thought it would really benefit to have someone like me there who is maybe a little bit newer, a little bit less experienced, to ask questions, to bounce ideas off of him, to hear what he was saying and then give him some feedback on that. And, you know, there are quite a few pros. So that's what I talked him into it. And the Sean West podcast has been a buddy co-host situation ever since. Although Sean does occasionally record solo shows. It seems to me that having a co-host, this seems to be a lot more common format than solo shows. And I think there are a few reasons why. First, when you have a co-host, you have someone to share writing and editing responsibilities with. Now, if you're lucky, you might find a co-host who actually likes editing podcasts. But at the very least, you'll have someone to bounce ideas for shows off of. So you could both get together during the week or maybe an hour or two before the recording and hash out an outline for the show. Also, the conversations will be easier. If you're delivering a solo show, you have to prepare. You have to have an outline. If you're like me, it's great to have a very, very detailed, almost a blog post written out. But when you're talking to someone, to a co-host, you can just riff off of each other, just have that conversation. And they can step in if you get stuck or if you lose your train of thought. And also, if you have a good rapport with your co-host, that dynamic can be really hard to beat. And really, it's just plain fun to podcast with a friend. You got inside jokes going on. You got running gags. You feel more comfortable. It's just your buddy, right? You're getting together to talk about stuff that you like. So that, I think those are some of the main reasons why the buddy, the co-host format is really, really popular. So what are some of the cons for co-host formats then? Buddy shows, as I was saying. I think the biggest one is finding a committed co-host can be really, really hard. Not everyone has a good friend that shares their passion and wants to commit to a podcast. And if you're one of those people, then you're lucky. When I was talking to Sean about starting this podcast, he asked me if I wanted to have a co-host. And then I said, yeah, I would love to have a co-host. I don't know anyone who's as into podcasting as I am that would be interested in doing the show for me. Like this, I'm not friends with a bunch of podcast editors. I know of a couple. I know of a few podcast editors online, and I reached out to one guy, but he's like, yeah, I'm not really interested in the show because, you know, you have to think about why this person would want to invest so much time. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. Scotty, first podcast dude episode? What's up, man? Good to have you here. Brooks? All right. We're back on. I'll just spend the whole show saying hi to you guys. So another con of having a co-host is the show might get derailed if your partner isn't good at keeping recording commitments. So hopefully you can find a co-host who isn't flaky. And I've talked before about the importance of recording episodes consistently. It's really easy to allow things to slip, and before you know it, it's been a month and you haven't put out a new episode. I've seen this happen to people way too often. That's the thing about having a co-host. You got to make sure they're on board with your recording schedule, and you got to agree to a time. You both got to stick to it. You both got to show up. Another downside is your vision for the show might differ from your co-host's vision for the show, or your goals for the show might be different than the goals your co-host has for the show. So when Sean and I started doing the Sean West podcast, I didn't really understand his long game mindset. I didn't really understand why he was insistent on giving away so much valuable content for free. Back then, the only way that I really knew how to make money from podcasting was selling ad spots from advertisers. And Sean was very insistent from the beginning that we were not going to sell ads, even though I knew that we had enough listeners almost right away. He was thinking about long-term goals, whereas I was more focused on the immediate returns. And eventually, I came to understand the value of giving to your audience and the rule of reciprocity. And I'm actually planning on having Sean back on the show soon to talk about ways to make money from podcasting. I think that's going to be a really big episode and really, hopefully, controversial. Controversial? Yeah. But I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to mention this because you might run into a similar situation. If your co-host goals aren't aligned with yours, you may run into conflict later down the road. So it's a really good idea to hash out and talk about things like your long-term goals, money, time commitment, things like that, what you both want to get out of the show. And this applies, I think, not just to podcasts, but any kind of business ventures. So something else you need to think about is what happens if your co-host quits or needs to take an extended amount of time off? Are you going to find another person to replace him or her? Are you going to do solo shows? Just all things you need to consider if you're thinking about starting a show with a friend. And I mentioned money earlier. It is a downside. If you have a co-host, or if you have two or three, then you'll be splitting any profits you make from the show. I really want to talk about how to make money from podcasting here, but I'm going to save that for another day. All right. So the third common format that I see a lot, interview shows. I'm guessing that many of you probably actually got into podcasting from listening to interview shows. So let's talk about the pros and cons of that. Pros. If you're doing an interview show, you might get to talk to some people that you really, really admire. There's just something really, really awesome about having a podcast and being able to reach out to someone and say, hey, I've got a podcast. You want to come talk to me? And they're like, yeah, sure. I love podcasting. That's really, really cool. I feel like I haven't interviewed anyone per se, but I feel like I've met people through podcasting, and that's a cool perk. Even if you're not making money from your show, it's a cool perk to be able to meet people that you look up to. You also won't have to prepare as much content every week. You will have to be a good interviewer, but you won't have to do a ton of writing. Like if you're doing a solo show, you have to prepare a full outline. If you're doing an interview, you may just want to do some research, prepare some questions, but really you're just trying to have a conversation. And interviewing is really a skill. So, and I want to actually dig more into that, because I am planning on doing more interviews for the show in the future. So I want to develop my own interviewing skill. So hopefully I can do a show episode about that in the future and share some good stuff with you guys. But podcast audiences, they love interview shows, man. People just love hearing interviews. And it makes sense, because you've got someone you're familiar with, so you're comfortable with that person, you kind of know their background. And that person is talking to someone who maybe you aren't super familiar with, but hopefully they have interesting things to say, you know, related to the overall topic of the show. This is why you see a lot of, you know, entrepreneur interviews. Some of the downsides, though, I mentioned earlier, if you're going to do an interview show, you need to have good interviewing skills. You're also probably going to have a little less control over audio quality, because a lot of people, I've said before, people are getting more comfortable with podcasting, and since it is starting to become a more common thing, people are investing in mics. But I still hear so many shows where people, really, really smart people, I don't get this, really, really smart people show up for a podcast interview and all they have is like the Apple earbuds. Like, I don't know. Technology. Anyways, I'm not going to go on a rant, but you do need to have, if you're going to be talking with someone over Skype, you need to ask them. I did a show about this. What am I talking about? Go back and listen to, I don't have the number. I'll put it in the show notes, but tell your interviewee that they need to record a local track on their computer, because you need to get a good track from them so you can do some mixing and mastering on it, do some editing and make them sound good. Otherwise, you might just be stuck with a Skype call, and that can have all kinds of problems. I actually had a listener email me and asked me to help him with a file that he got, because he recorded a Skype conversation with Ecamm Call Recorder, and his guests, the audio levels for his guest were much quieter than his. And of course, me, I was just like, oh, you know, you just got to compress the crap out of it. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, okay, we'll jump on Skype. So you'll have less control over audio quality. If you're interviewing people, you never know what you're going to get from week to week. Also, your guests, the people you interview, they may not stick to the schedule, or they may be hard to get on schedule. If you're interviewing people that are kind of busy and in demand, then, you know, if you're not a big deal, they may not feel guilty about blowing you off during a week. Or they may say, yeah, I think I got maybe like 2 weeks from now on a Thursday. That's going to be hard for me when I start interviewing people. I want to live stream consistently. I want to live stream on Monday mornings. So I'm going to have to tell people, like, look, I want to interview you for my show, but you've got to be available at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. So if you're not live streaming, that's easier, but it's just something, yeah. It can be hard to get people on the books if they bail, then what are you going to do for your podcast that week? Oops, maybe do a solo show. That's why it's a good idea to practice solo shows. But you might not also be able to get the guests that you really want to at first. So we've all got, I think a lot of podcasters have dreams of interviewing the famous people. And that can be really, really great, because if you can interview someone with a really, really large audience, then you get access to their audience. Because unless you do a really terrible job, they're probably going to promote your show. They say, hey, I did an interview with this guy. You know, if I interviewed Chris Coyer, guy that does shop talk and CSS tricks, then he's probably going to send out a tweet whenever I post it. Say, hey, I talked to this Aaron guy. Now his whole audience knows who I am. They probably, since they're a fan of him, they're going to go listen to my podcast. So that's great for me. New audience. It's a good way to build a show. But you might not get those guests at first. That's why you got to stick with it. Show up every week. Make something good. Make it as good as you can. Keep getting better. All right. Number four, the mix and match. I call this NPR style. This is really cool, but it takes a lot of work. It's like preparing a blog post, but you've got interviews thrown in there. So you can do this style, and I'm talking like Radiolab, This American Life. There's a ton and ton of other NPR shows that have this kind of, it's like a person talking for a while. Serial was like this. Serial was huge for this reason. And, you know, you can do this by yourself, or you can have a co-host, or you can interview a bunch of different people. And the pros and cons of this are, well, first, the pros, it's a very high production value. That's also kind of a con. But it's also very popular right now. And it can be very, very compelling and interesting if you do a good job with the story, the narrative, the editing, and the mixing. But really, if you're just starting out, this is going to be a lot of work for you. It's a much longer preparation time. You really have to think through the story of the show in each episode and who you're going to talk with. And then you got to line up interviews. You got to do all the recording. You got to make sure the post-production is going to be a lot of work. You'll have to mix a bunch of different clips together, you find music, all that stuff. It is very high production value, and it can be a really, really good show, but it's going to be way, way, way more work than just doing a solo show or a co-host or an interview. But I want to bring up just a point that a guy made. First, other. I have a note in here that just says other. So there are really so many different things that we could do with the podcasting format. I think we're really only limited by our imagination and, you know, audio. But a couple of examples I could just bring up. Just, I want to spark some ideas for you guys. You could create a podcast where you read sections from a book that you wrote. So if you're an author and you read your whole book, you wrote your whole book, then you could read half a chapter, publish it as a podcast episode. And if you're a prolific writer, you could do this on a weekly basis and have, you know, material forever. I don't think every show has to stick to the, you know, solo show, co-host, or interview format that it seems to be so, so popular in podcasting right now. You could also, like I said, you could write a fiction story and release it like an old-style radio show. That's kind of fun. You could write a how-to course and record and release parts of it every week too. So say a lot of people are doing online courses right now. Well, if you do an online course, you got video screencasts, you could record an accompanying podcast for that and push it out. So I mentioned earlier, there's a guy, his name is Dave Wiskus. He did a really interesting video a while back that I'm going to link to in the show notes, called Podcast Intervention. And in it, he kind of does a takedown of the typical, what he calls the typical two white males talking about their phones and computers, that format of podcasting. And he's right, because this is a very common thing in podcasting. And I'd like to see more creativity in podcasting. I'd like to see more thought put into a show rather than just two guys showing up and sharing their unscripted thoughts. We can do a lot with audio. And for example, Sean McCabe's, he's done great work just by preparing valuable content in advance. He's not just showing up and saying what comes to mind. He's thinking about how his message will help his audience. And on top of that, so that's great just by itself. But on top of that, at some point, he bought a kalimba, which is one of those little thumb pianos. And he started a new segment at the end of his podcast called Zen Moments with Ben, where Ben, his co-host, he would either read or ad-lib a kind of meditative story about a leaf falling through a forest or something like that. And Ben even ended up writing a science fiction story about a monkey in space that ended up being like something like 12 different parts.
You are a little frog sitting on a lily pad. A happy little frog. You're sitting very, very still, just like the still water of the pond that your lily pad is resting upon.
And that's the kind of creativity that I'd like to see more of. We have access to all this amazing recording technology, gear that would have costed $100,000 10 or 20 years ago. It's now available to all of us for a relatively affordable price. So I'd like to start thinking about ways that we can take advantage of it and make something more interesting and more dynamic. All right, I'm going to wrap up and then I'm going to get into some questions. One other thing I just wanted to bring up real quick, because this question gets asked a lot. How long should my podcast be? So I'm going to say here, it can be as long as you want. And you just need to know that longer shows take longer to produce, edit, and write show notes for. And also, some people do like listening to shorter shows. I personally prefer good content between 30 and 60 minutes. But the internet says that 20 to 25 minutes is the average length of a commute. So that's a good length for your podcast. All right. So I hope I've given you guys some stuff to think about. I'd love to know if you have any questions or if you have any thoughts about some of the things that I talked about here. This is one of those things that I think is going to be an ongoing conversation as we move into the future of podcasting. I really think podcasting is still a very new medium and it's changing and I'm excited about it, but I want to, you know, want to help you guys come into it and produce something that's great and that you enjoy doing. So let me know if there's any way I can help. Send me an email, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I'm gonna plug Sean again, learnedlettering.com. That's man, such value there. Giving away the starter class for free. $99 class, giving it away for free. If you're interested in doing some lettering, if you like sketching or graphic design, go check that out. Go listen to his podcast too, SeanWest.com/podcast. It's great. I want to thank everyone in the community for showing up. You guys are the best. Sorry I'm not more full of life like I normally am. I'm some of you may have missed this. I'm kind of feeling a little bit under the weather. So I'm trying to keep it relatively tame today. Got to recover. It's a late night. If you're enjoying the show, if you could do me a huge favor, head over to iTunes, podcastdude.com/iTunes. Leave me a review. Let me know what you like. I'm gonna read one real quick because people are nice enough to leave one. You know what kind of sucks is that when you go into iTunes, you can't actually copy the text from the reviews. Is that weird? It's like, it's not like an image, but you just can't copy any of the text. It made me so angry. I got to figure out how to do that. And then you can only look at a couple if you go to the web version of iTunes. Oh, man. Don't get me started on iTunes. So angry. Oh, I know what review I want to read. Oh, yeah. The best review yet. Although I saw a bunch of you guys left me some reviews, so thank you. Thank you. But this one in particular... Where is it? Yes. Review from Garrett. How you doing, man? Garrett Mickley. He said, Aaron recommended a microphone and a book to me, and I ordered the mic and then went into the bookstore to pick up the book. I ended up bonding with a cutie over the book and discussion of the microphone, which she happened to be into as well. Destiny, Kismet, Garrett, what's kismet? Can you guys explain this to me? I don't know what kismet is. Or is Aaron just doing his thing? Oh, yeah, it's also the best podcast about podcasting. Garrett, it's wonderful. That's such a fun story, man. You know, I hope it works out, but either way, that's awesome. All right, if you're enjoying the show so far, check out seanwest.com/community if you want to hang out with awesome, smart people. The community supports this podcast and the other podcasts on the network. I love it. I could not live without it. It's full of amazing, smart, good-looking people, and I enjoy hanging out with them every single day. I think you'd like it, too. I think you'd like it. I think you'd like the other shows on the network. So go check those out. All right, I think that's it. Should play some music. Going to get some questions in the after show. Then I'm going to go sleep. Man, I'm tired. Oh, yeah. Talk to you guys soon. Okay, let's get into this. So Kelsey asked, when should you start podcasting? Is there a benchmark for number of followers, blog posts, videos, expertise before it's smart to start a podcast? Okay, so the first thing is you shouldn't start podcasting before you know that there is something that you're really, really into. So if you're really, really passionate about something, and I have to qualify that by saying that it's not something, it can't be something that you just, as Sean says, that you enjoy the idea of doing. Like for me, I enjoy the idea of touring with a band. I've done it a little bit, but that's a lot different than doing it, say, 8 months out of the year. So it wouldn't be a good idea for me to start a podcast about being a touring musician if I've only done it a week or two at a time. So in the same way, if you're just like, man, it would be really awesome to be a full-time web designer, but you're still working a day job, but you're kind of getting into it, you could start a show, but I think it's something that it just needs to be something that you really, really care a lot about and you want to be known as an expert in. And then absolutely, it does not matter how many followers you have. It does not matter how many blog posts or videos. Expertise kind of matters because you need to have some stuff to talk about. I'd say if you can think of 15 to 20 minute episodes that you could do. If you could talk about or write about, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 words for a topic, if you can find 5 or 10 of those, then you're probably ready to start a podcast. And the great thing is that podcasting, hopefully you'll be writing for it. So that'll be a blog post that you can then publish on your website. You could also do a video for it. So you got to think about repurposing your content. You know, for each episode, I write a bunch in advance. So for this show's outline, I had 2,000 words. It's a blog post. I go back after I record the show, and I refine it even more. So then I've got a big, long blog post. When I'm done, I also do featured images for it. So then I've got some visual content. I can share that stuff on social media, point it all back to my website. So it is a great way to build, to get new followers, to build up blog posts. Like I said, you could do videos on this stuff too. So yeah, if you commit to showing up every week, then you're going to do some writing. So I think it's a great way to do that. And it's going to push you forward more. Do you guys hear that? What is that? Cicadas. Is that what they're called? It's been so long since I've heard a cicada around here. Crickets. Yeah, no, it's not crickets. Not crickets, cicadas. Okay, Juju asked, is having a contract a good idea to eliminate future problems such as showing up consistently or workload on each host when you're doing a podcast with a co-host. I don't know how I feel about contracts. That makes it feel a little too, I don't know, businessy. On the other hand, like if that's the kind of person you are, then yeah, I think that'd be fine. But a contract, I don't think it means anything. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to make someone pay you $300 if they don't show up? Like if you don't have any leverage over that, like you show up every week or else what? They're out? I mean, they're probably going to do that anyways. I think the important thing is to identify those problems in advance and then have that conversation. So talk to, and it's okay to write all these things out on a piece of paper just so you both clearly understand what the expectations are. There's one thing I've learned from Sean. It's that setting expectations is everything. It's so, so important. Yeah, but there's going to be times where if the podcast is not as big a deal to your co-host as it is to you, then they may push it off to go out and drink with their buddies. You know, that's just the reality. It's just something you need to think about, but it's important to have those conversations in advance. So hopefully if you can kind of spot those red flags and you'll see that somebody isn't really that interested in the podcast, then you just have to be mentally prepared. Say, well, okay, I may end up having to do a solo show. Or maybe it's not a bad idea to go out and find other people that you could talk to on a regular basis. Like this is something that Sean's done that I think is great. You know, he'll have his wife on the show, or he'll have me on the show, or he'll have Matt Lopez on the show. And it's just this kind of like this rotating crew of people that could fill in if necessary. So he's always got someone to do a show. And at the very worst case scenario, he can do a solo show. So just be aware of that so you don't use it as an excuse to not show up and make the thing. All right. Raphael, he said, how do you do an interview show with people that aren't in the same location as you? So most often this is done over Skype. So you call the person on Skype, but you also have to have them record a file on their computer. Hopefully they're recording on a computer, not just a phone line or something. Otherwise, you have to record the Skype call with a program specifically made for recording Skype call like Ecamm Call Recorder. There's a couple different programs. I'll include some links in the show notes, but I've also done a post on that, so I'll get that to you in the show notes as well. You have to record your end. Hopefully they record their end so they can send it to you, so then you can put it together in your audio editing software, make it sound nice, do some editing, and that's kind of how you do it. Okay. Sam asked, I will soon begin recording a co-hosted show with a friend about communication. Having been a co-host, what do you wish you had known going into launching a show? So you're going to be, okay, so Sam's going to be the lead host on a show about how to be a better communicator. I really like that. Yeah, I'd say what I talked about earlier, have the conversation about, you know, what's going to happen if one of you has to take off for a week. What are both of your goals? Like, what do you want to get out of the podcast? Because if someone's not trying to build an audience for whatever reason, I mean, there's a lot of benefits. I've talked about this before. There's a lot of benefits to doing a podcast. Like, you'll make new friends, you'll build new relationships. Some people don't either see that or value it as much. They don't understand how talking about something can make you be seen as an expert and therefore can give you more like work opportunities, you know, new relationships, all that kind of stuff. If they don't have the same goals as you, then this might be a great show for you, but kind of, I'm not going to say a waste of time for them, but maybe just one other thing that they're only kind of sort of interested in. So you just need to have that conversation and make sure you understand both parties' motivation. And then, yeah, what else do I wish I would have known? Make sure you, if you're serious about the show, make sure you have a good recording setup, both of you. I'm not going to say don't start, but really, really consider investing. And at least, you know, the setup I talk about, the SM58 and the Scarlett 2i2. All right. Last question from Garrett again. Said, how short is too short of a show? I'm going to say Anything less than a minute. Anything less than a minute. I don't think you can deliver much value in less than a minute. But if you guys want to try to prove me wrong, I'd love to hear it. All right. Thank you guys for showing up. Guys and gals, all of you. I really appreciate it. I'm gonna wrap this up and I'm gonna go try to get some sleep so I can feel better. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you in the chat again. Hope everyone has an excellent, excellent week. Just make stuff and be awesome at what you do. Bye.